Well, there might only be a few of us here, but we're actually up by 300% on our normal services whenever it's only Monica and myself. We're glad to see you all here, and we're glad to have a little bit of company. There's certainly plenty going on. In case we are recording the service, because there's still a few people want the services recorded and CDs made, so we're still doing that. We're reading in Isaiah 61, and I think it's Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Those are our Bible readings and our sermon references, so we're going to go with those. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength for each one that's here this morning. And we know, Lord, there are ones that would like to be here that aren't here this morning. And I pray you for Steve especially, and Pat and Esther. Lord, we just pray your good hand upon them and upon the many others that are not able to make it out to your house this morning. Just thank you, Lord, for Ling and Frank, Will and John, for Norman and Christy, and of course Monica and myself, for the desire and the ability to be here. But we don't forget, Lord, the folks in the Maboy Road, Norman and Noel and Joan, and Carol and Harry and Marie, Jane and Corey, Steve and Anne Marie, and Evelyn and Henry, Sally, Sammy and Kate, Pearl and Alan. Lord, we're not forgetting these folks or my dad, who are sort of dependent upon these messages, because it's the only wee bit of preaching that they get. So Lord, we just love you and thank you. We pray that your good hand would be upon us this morning as we do this slightly different service. And we pray, Lord, that the novelty of it would wear off and that it wouldn't seem strange. Please, Lord, just be one of our number this morning. Thank you for loving us, for watching over us. Pray your good hand upon us all, Maslam and Georgina as well, and Dr. Shah. And we ask it all in your name. Amen. All right. Does anybody have a song that they'd like for us all to sing quietly together? What? If you can't sing, just take your shoes off and hum along with me.
That's a
there you go. There you go. What number is it, Will, do you know off the top of your head? 340. Thanks, Krista.
Sky, so the Holy Ghost is gay. my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me. High the billows cease to roll. See a fruitful field is growing. Blessed fruit of righteousness. And the stream.
Still trying to figure out the mathematics of all of this, but yep, somebody has an idea somewhere. I have a wee verse of scripture I would like to read for us all. There's one that I came across doing my devotions a few years back, and it's just been much on my mind, and I hope it's a help to you. It says, therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavoury. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Amen. Wanted to share that with you. It's been a great help to me. A lot of the things that the Lord promises us are not just for heaven, but they're for right now. Right. Does anybody else have another song that would like for us all to listen to, hum quietly along to, or sing it to ourselves?
Or if you want for you to hear them afresh.
Sure. So have that one marked. 138. I'm getting the impression, well, that you would like this one. Good job. Even a rest.
Make me your choice, and I enter.
to chapter 6 is the Bible reading that Steve asked for me to bring to you this morning. So you're very welcome to follow along or just listen along in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And these are the words of God. I don't know about your Bible, but the whole of Matthew 6 and all but one or two verses of Matthew 7 and all of Matthew 5 but one or two verses are in red, and they're part of the Sermon on the Mount. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to remind you of a few of our prayer requests. First of all, I want to thank everybody that has continued on with the Lord and helped us out over the past, goodness, how long is it? 3 months? Pardon? Goodness, nearly 4 months. But we thank you for that. It has been very much appreciated. And we thank you for being here this morning. There are many people that will take the opportunity to be out of church for 3 months, to stay out of church for the rest of their lives. Those folks need help and praying for, because I would have thought after having to spend, 4 months stuck in your house and finding out that a bunch of stuff just doesn't matter anymore, that you would be looking for something that really did matter. But amen. We have mentioned various names. I'm sure you might have picked up on a few of them. We mentioned them at the start of the service. People that we have bumped into over the past 3 months and people that have contacted us over the past 3 months that have asked for the CDs and asked for prayers. Christy knows Eddie and Anne. I don't know if any of you know Carol and her mom and dad that live down at that end of the lane. And even Henry Craig and his wife Evelyn have taken CDs off us, I think. And Stephen, of course, as well, and Anne Marie, you know, next door, have been very, very gracious in looking after the grounds of the church until I get back on my feet. And some people have really, like the cream, have I would say, risen to the top. And I'm not naming any names in the church. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to thank everybody that put their best foot forward, that helped Monica and me, and that have stayed the course. It is important that you're still here. It is important that you go on serving the Lord. We did also mention a family in Black Creek, the Gilbert family, you may have remembered, and the cousins family who also lost loved ones during this time. I don't think due to it, was it? But they lost loved ones during the times when they couldn't be properly mourned, and they couldn't have a good proper Christian send-off. So please do pray for the cousins family, the Gilbert family. We're not forgetting Norman. And don't forget Rita's family as well. They all miss and are missed by loved ones. Have gone on to greater and more glorious things, and someday we'll be up there with them. But in the meantime, we miss those souls here and now. And we realize that many people still need prayer and still need prayed for and spiritually supported, even if there's nobody sitting beside them right then. It's good to know that people are praying for you, and we appreciate your prayers. Are there any other, are there any other announcements? We're not forgetting people's private prayer requests. We haven't forgotten that. And I know each one of us, I haven't been speaking to, hardly anybody except over the phone from time to time. And I know almost certain that you have prayer requests that you haven't mentioned. So we're praying for your private prayer requests anyway. And even if you don't, if you don't have any private prayer requests, just like that wee portion of Scripture said, the Lord knows what you have need of before you ask. Sometimes he's just waiting for us to ask. So do keep praying and do remember those things. On a slightly grander scale than Bethel, please do pray for our leaders. Boris Johnson, Arlene Foster. Poet Nicola Sturgeon gets saved and starts living right for God. She is one wicked woman. Imagine all the people in Scotland having to deal with that for a Prime Minister. But having said that, our own Prime Minister was up to her neck in the RHI scandal. The British Prime Minister is a fornicator and has an illegitimate child to a woman he shacked up with. And the Southern Prime Minister is an out-and-out homosexual. This is the land in which this is the creme de la creme of our country. Please do pray for America as well, that on a political note, President Trump and even Boris Johnson will get things moving that stop a lot of these troublemakers in their tracks. And pray for China, especially Hong Kong right now. They are having a very difficult time. There's a lot going on. Please do pray. All the things in the Bible where it talks about, just pray. Pray for them. But most importantly, pray for each other. And pray for your family and friends and your church family. I have made mention a few times through services that it's easy being a Christian in Northern Ireland. And it's even easy being a Christian in America. Because we read about these things in the Bible and then we see things happening in Africa, or we see these things happening in Russia or North and South Korea. And there's always something that seemed to happen on TV. And whether we like it or not, when we see something on TV, I have a certain amount of unbelief with whatever I see on TV. A certain amount of cynicism. But things are happening to us now. So pray, and look after yourselves, and be careful. I couldn't visit you in hospital. Nobody would be allowed to see you. Couldn't visit you in your home. And just the past week or two, I was wondering whether I was going to end up there again. So please be careful. Don't be afraid to pray for your daily bread, all the things that you need every day to see you through one end to the other. Just be careful. Keep fueled up, keep read up, and keep prayed up, and you should be fine. Amen. Right. Can't think. Are there any other prayer requests that anybody would like to add to the list? Anything that you can think of? Preachers need to be prayed for, Mrs. Bradfield.
Gemma, who's cancer has
returned. Who's Gemma again?
Gemma.
Gemma was mentioned at the start of the service. That's one of Will's work colleagues.
Her sister-in-law.
Has a return of cancer. Please do pray for that. That is a very difficult spot to be in these days. So you can tell her we're praying for, if you can do that properly, and you know what I mean. Good. Amen. All right. We'll have a word of prayer. Christy, would you mind leading us? If you would, brother, please.
Lord, we're thankful for this day, Lord, your goodness, for seeing each one of us through, for protecting us over this course of the pandemic, Lord. We ask and pray that you continue to watch over those, Lord, that are shaven and tired us. Keep your good hand on those, Lord. Remember all those that the church has got contact with over the past few months as well, that you would reach them, Lord, at their point of need, Lord. Just provide and protect them, Lord, and just minister to their hearts, Lord, and see them saved, we pray. Bless the service. It's good to be back, Lord, in your house. Help us today. Bless the preachers who stands to proclaim your word. Lord, just accept our worship this morning, please. Be with every church that's meeting together again. We pray that common sense would prevail, Lord. This isn't the government trying to shut down churches and change things, Lord, just for the sake of it, but, Lord, for the health of the people. Help us, Lord. Guide us and lead us. Help us to be lights, Lord, especially in these times when people are probably searching for something that they can cling to, Lord. Just help us to share and radiate your love, too, please, in these days. Remember the prayer request. We pray for those who want to be, Lord, but couldn't be here this morning. If you be with them, Lord, just touch them. We pray. Heal the sick, Lord. Remember those that are shut in, I think, on letter, especially, Lord. Remember those grieving families that were mentioned as well. We ask for, of course, the comfort for them. Help us now, Lord. Guide us in your will, Lord. Just be with us this morning, please, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. All right. Take your hymn books, if you would. And turn to number two.
Number two. Normally number two is only sung in honour of Brother Stan being here. He's not here this morning. He's not hiding under a pew. Don't worry, I think he's got a service going in his own church. Hymn number two is Glory to His Name in the big hymn books.
We can put away our hymn books for a little bit and take your Bibles and turn to the first of our readings this morning in Isaiah 61. There's only 11 verses here and we're going to read them all. Isaiah 61, and then after we have another wee word of prayer, we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61. Back nearly 2,600 or more years ago, hundreds of years before the Lord walked on the face of the earth, the Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, Isaiah, I want you to write this down. And this is what Isaiah wrote down. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in the portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Amen. Amen. Well, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, if you would, brother?
Dear Father, thank you this day. Thank you for helping us, Lord. And thank you for keeping us from getting ill with COVID-19, Lord. To be with those people that have the virus, Lord, then you may reach them, Lord, and touch them, heal their bodies, Lord, and also touch their souls, Lord, that they might turn from their sins, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and accept him in their lives, Lord, that they may be saved, Lord, and be a part of your adopted family, your Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, pray for that, Lord. Pray for the people who went to the pub last night, Lord. You may tighten, Lord, and touch them, Lord, and wipe them off their sins, Lord. We're with the people on the side, Lord, people under drug dependency or alcohol dependency, or whatever dependency, Lord, whatever they put in front of thee and in front of thyself, and Lord Jesus Christ, and we take away that, Lord, and Lord, convict them of their sin, Lord. We have our missionaries, Lord, the far fields, the pastures, the ashes, the biscuits, the hens, the foxes, Lord, and other people we do not know are laboring such a far field, Lord, in their home tax, Lord. We make them a touch of the Spirit, Lord. Provide for them and keep them, Lord, especially in these tight times, Lord. And Lord, protect them both physically, mentally, spiritually, and psychologically, Lord. And pray for them and give them a touch of the Spirit that they may talk to those that are lost, Lord, and may persuade those that are lost to come to the old road cross that they may be saved, Lord. Grant us this day, Lord, and provide for us, keep us. Give Mark the Spirit, Lord, today, Lord, and give us some exhortation, Lord, maybe chastise us, Lord, and Lord, give us something new, Lord, that we may see a new light, Lord, of our message, Lord, and bring us this day, Lord, and for every good thing you provide for us, Lord, and deliver us and keep us for thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. And thank you for that reminder, Will, but I just wanted to remind you all that Francis Cosgrave's brother, I'm sure you remember, passed away there a week or two ago. But Paul Forrest passed away just a couple of days ago. Now, some of you may not have ever known or met Paul Forrest, but he used to come visit with us. And whenever he was here, he would do like a week of evangelism services here and with Alan Fox. He was had a lot of health issues, and he will be missed. He was very well read, and I'm sure there's maybe one or two preachers wondering where his book of notes is right now, but please do pray for the Forrest family and all those that know him, and of course for Francis Cosgrave's family as well. He has most of his family, I think, has lost it. I believe his brother was saved, possibly the only one that was in the whole family. And please do pray for the rest. It is, as the Bible says, as I think we might be reading a little bit later on, a prophet has no honour in his own country and among his own brethren. Amen. Luke chapter 4, if you'd like to take and turn we will read the realization of this prophecy that was given to the prophet Isaiah, goodness, over 2.5 centuries ago. 2.5 millennia ago, not 2.5 centuries ago, my goodness. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14. And the word of God says in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And that is going to be our text, verse number 21. And the title for the message is going to be "Today, Now, Immediately." And we'll go on reading. "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, and unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus or Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all then the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Amen. That's bonkers when you think about it. Someone that wants the best for somebody, and people keep taking advantage of them, rejecting them, and even wanting them killed. Isaiah was given the original quote, and the Lord used this, perhaps one of the most plain presentations of himself as the Son of God and the job that he came to do. The first little bit of Isaiah talks, is just the original of Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. But the rest of Isaiah 61 is to do with the restitution of Israel. And friends, that started already. When the Lord stood up and spoke in the synagogue and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," he was talking about what he was coming to do. But friends, the rest of that scripture, another part of that scripture, the restoration of Israel, friends, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. We can look back and we can see and understand that the things that God says in his word come true. I know I've said before, but I would love to have been in the congregation. Someone, somewhere in this world was preaching about the restoration of Israel when the Israeli flag went up. I would love to have been in that congregation. I would love to have seen the look on their faces when they tuned in their radios. For the young among you, there was no internet back then. The only internet, the only network was the network of wires coming out of the back of your radio or running about inside. And whenever the preacher was just talking about that and that was in the Bible. It's all true. But the Lord also warned of judgment to come. He also said, look, I love judgment. I hate theft. I hate deception. But I love judgment. And judgment is one of those things that has saved every single soul that has ever put their faith in Jesus Christ, because they had to realize they were judged first before and found guilty before they could be saved. And we see in Luke, as we skip on to Luke, and we're not spending too much time on the prophecy, because you know, if I start speaking about prophecy, that'll be us until 12:30, and I'll still have another page of notes to go through. Christy might be glad of that, because it'd save him a job tonight. But we see the effect that the preaching of the Word of God had on the people that heard it. They thought, oh, those words are lovely. And everything was grand until the Lord started to say, today, the scripture is fulfilled right now. And you know what that means? It means you'd better have a good look at yourself. It means you'd better sort yourself out. It means that every single day for a lost soul is a day under the judgmental eye of God. Every single day is a day where God's hand is held out, and every single day is a day where people reject him. Now, I got to thinking, and I had to do a lot of hard thinking, if you were to turn over a bit, and I don't know about you, but the last couple of verses in red, 25, 26, and 27, the Lord was talking about Old Testament times. Times whenever Israel had been very bad. So bad, in fact, that God actually took to judging them and used whole nations to do so. Back in the days of not Sodom and Gomorrah, Ahab and Jezebel, the Lord, through his prophet Elijah, sent a drought for 3.5 years. And he fed Elijah down by the stream, and the crows used to come and bring him his meat and his bread. And I had a fancy that every day the crows were up in Ahab's kitchens, and they were raiding the pies and all the things that were set out to cool, and they were bringing them to Elijah. But it might have just come from heaven, who knows. But the point I'm trying to make here is that God didn't send his prophet to the people in Israel. He was done with that. He was letting the people wallow in their judgment, hoping that some would come to a realization and repent. He sent them to unbelievers, the widow woman of Sarepta, and God preserved her for all that time. Remember the wee cruse of oil and the cruse of meal that never ran out? Every day it was used, every day it was filled up again. Because she put God's man first, because she put God first. And I don't think it was that long ago we actually spoke on Naaman the leper, a great captain in the Syrian army, but he was a leper, a fearsome warrior, but he was a leper. So for all of the kudos and glory and all the people who wanted to slap him on the back and shake his hand and tell him what a great guy he was, including the king, he had to sit in a house far, far away from all of that because he was a leper. And he is the only leper that is recorded as having been healed. A pagan. For all the people, for all the people in Israel that were God's chosen people, they were God's chosen people getting their ears tugged, getting a clash in the other ear and getting a toe up the backside because they were being wicked. God sent out to everybody. His people rejected him, but unbelievers, Gentiles, were the ones that were experiencing God's grace and his power. And that's what Jesus says to the people in the church. Can you imagine me coming into church and saying, do you see you bunch? God's not coming to visit you. He's going to visit the guy down the road. He's not coming to see the guy that turns up at church in his nice suit and sits there for an hour and think everything's okay in the world. He's going to visit the guy down the road that really wants to know God. That is not going to make people happy, and we see what happened, of course. They grabbed him. They were going to cast him down from the brow of the hill and kill him. But he just slipped through them and went his way. Amen. They thought, let's kill this guy. He keeps showing us up. He keeps showing us up for what we are. He keeps showing us that we want glory and power and the money and the wealth and all the things that really belong to God. He keeps showing us that we're standing in place of God. Now we know, I have a notion it wasn't the common man, because they were waiting on the word of God. It has always been the religious leaders that opposed God, not Joe Public. Anyway, I wanted to have a particular look at this promise that was made in Isaiah, that was realized in the book of Luke and in the Gospels. And I want to just have a moment or two and think about each of the promises that God, through Isaiah and then through the Lord, made to whosoever will. All right, that means anybody that will humble themselves and come to God. First thing he said was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, he's prepared me to preach the gospel to the poor. We have no doubt that Jesus was prepared. He was being prepared. The word of God says he is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. For thousands of years, the prophecies of Jesus Christ and what he was going to do were preserved in the word of God. We have no doubt he is the anointed one. But he came to preach the gospel to the poor. I don't know about you, but no one wants to be poor. A lot of times we just love the power that being able to spend money brings. I think that's why a lot of people with a lot of credit cards go into a lot of debt, and because they enjoy being able to exercise that power, even if technically it's not really theirs. It's not nice to have to go without, to budget, to plan your monies, to do without things that other people take for granted. But, first of all, God's promise to his children is you'll never see them hungry or begging, naked or begging for bread. So, like, it's funny how all of the things, the readings and whatnot have come together. When you have God at the center of your life and you know you are where God wants you to be, it is not a chore to do without. It's a chore to the old man, but once the new man gets cracking and busy for God, you realize, hold on a wee second, I didn't need that after all. I was able to get along quite all right, and more importantly, I found out that God can see me through. If you know in your heart that this is where God would have you, you can do without an awful lot. And God will be there to make up the slack. See, otherwise people are going to get saved, in quotes, and join the church, in quotes. Say this was one of the health, wealth and prosperity gospel churches. And every time someone came in through the door, and I wish this was the case, because I've been in and out of that door a lot. If every time you went in through the door, you got supernaturally better and stronger. I tell you what, over the past 7 months, I would have been down here every day in and out through that door. It just doesn't work like that. But if that's what happened, people would be joining for physical health. And then if every time I walked in, my pockets filled with gold sovereigns, people would be coming in for physical wealth. And if every time I walked in, I had the Midas touch, so to speak, and everything I put my hand to succeeded beyond my wildest dreams, people would be coming in for physical prosperity. That is not what God promised. God promised to be here for those that had nothing else. And when people see that a soul without all the blessings of the world can still get by with a smile on their face, joyful in their lives, turn up at church and sing at the top of their voices. Well, except given current circumstances. People will see that there is more to life than health and wealth and prosperity. That the gospel, the good news of God, is what man really needs to hear. Because let me tell you something, friends. There comes a time in every single life when we are destitute, when we have nothing. And then it is only having God that matters. I know I've mentioned it before. I hate to bring it up again because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. But when I was lying in that hospital with stupid thoughts going through my head and my body going bonkers and my temperature through the roof and my heart beating like a steel drum, do you know the only thing that was important to me? The money that I had, not important, couldn't do a thing with it. The gadgets that I had, not important because they didn't help my life one little jot. All the food that I had was no good because I couldn't eat it. And all the wit and all the wisdom and every single talent that I had, absolutely no good. I was destitute. And the only thing that mattered was God and having Him as my Saviour and my friend. It doesn't just make a world of difference. It makes an eternity of difference. The second thing that the Lord came to do was to heal the brokenhearted. And again, it took me a bit of thinking. I thought, what brokenhearted? People are so busy these days entertaining themselves with one thing and another. And they all seem to have smiles on their faces. But that is exactly what God came to heal people from. Not from joy, but from this pursuit of happiness. How many people are, even as we speak, grinding themselves into the ground, trying to make their lives make them happy. Trying to give, trying to earn, trying to work for that which God gives for free. Believing all the things that are shown on TV. Oh, if you buy this phone, your life will be perfect. If you have this car, your life will be perfect. If you have this amount of money, your life will be perfect. Don't get me wrong, I have no problem with people having cars, monies, phones, anything like that. But whenever that's all that a person has, and those are the things that are the gods in those people's lives, then there's a problem. And I honestly believe that advertisers know this. The devil has been using it for thousands of years since man was called up out of the ground. He has been telling people, you see that over there? Would you like to have that? And they said to Adam and Eve, do you see God? Would you like to have what He has? And of course He would. Goodness, that's why we are the way we are at the moment. Goodness. How much of the advertiser's audience would disappear if people got saved and looked to God? How many people in this world would all, how many car companies would go bust? How many gadget companies would have to slash their profits if people got saved? How many toy companies would have to shut half of their shops because people were looking to God instead of to stuff? To give them joy and purpose. The reason people are looking so much to things, is that not one of the verses in Steve's reading for us this morning? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, keep your thoughts on the things of above, where moth and rust do not corrupt. But whenever your thoughts and your heart is upon the things in this world, goodness, you need guards, you need alarm systems, you need cameras, you need machine guns, you need armies. The Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. The world promises the sun, the moon and the stars and doesn't even deliver a flashlight. God promises and delivers a free, forever and sure salvation and the assurance of it and so much more. A friend closer than a brother. The ministrations of angels. The greatest of purposes. The job that Jesus did when he was here on earth himself, when he walked and talked with us. And when a person realizes that all of these other things are only temporary, we just pray for wisdom. And that don't actually fulfill. We pray they realize that God will be able to sort them out. To pour his Holy Spirit into that broken container, their hearts. Save their souls and make their lives worth something. I know there are many of us. I remember being in school when I just discovered computers and I was still sort of a foot in the electronics camp. I wanted a gadget of mine to go up in the space shuttle and to spend the next 1,000 or so years going round the earth. That's what I wanted. I wanted something of me to be left behind if anything should ever happen to me. Do you know what I want now? I have realized that there is something that lasts longer than this world. And there is something that lasts longer than the sun and the moon and the stars. And that's the endless ages of eternity. And the only thing that is going to last for the endless ages of eternity is people's souls. I want folks to be saved. And that fulfills me. The next thing he offered to do was to preach deliverance to the captives. And that doesn't mean God only cares for people that are in jail. That's not what that's talking about at all, although he does care for people that are in jail and he wants them saved. But how many people, how many of us that are walking about this earth in the Western world, seemingly as free as a bird, if you could see the spiritual shackles that are holding them down, the addictions, the immoralities, the alcohol, the tobacco, all of the drugs that literally nail people's feet to the floor and stop them from doing anything. God came. What did Jesus say? I am come to set men free. Not just free, but free indeed. And I'm badly butchering that verse, but you know what I mean. These people that will spend their whole lives trying to shut this, and some of them actually will. But then, how many times does the smoker that gave up cigarettes just come across a situation where they need a cigarette to get back onto, to get over this particular trial in life, and they're back? Addictions and lifestyles that there is no earthly escape for. Jesus had to give his life on the cross for, to provide a supernatural, foolproof, one-size-fits-all escape, or should I say salvation. How many testimonies have you listened to? How many people have stood and told you that they had at last the power to kick a drug dependency, an alcohol dependency, a tobacco dependency, a profanity that they just couldn't stop coming out of their mouths, a bad temper, a violent streak, a pursuit of immorality? How many people do their testimonies contain these? And it wasn't through their physical fitness. It wasn't through their own wisdom. It was through throwing it all at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what happens? You know what the Word of God says to the person that seems to do this all by themselves and then laughs at other people for being weak? Do you know what the Bible says will happen to that place, that person? The Bible says the spirit that was cast out will walk through desert places seeking rest and find none. And then he says, I'm going back. But not only is he going back, he's going back mob-handed, and he'll take 7 spirits even worse than himself. And the last case of that man will be worse than it was before. Jesus came to set us free. Just remember, there's many as a soul. I'm sure you've heard a testimony of people in prisons getting saved and being happier and content, realizing, yes, they're having to pay their debt with society, but even more so because if they hadn't been there, they'd never have gotten saved. Jesus came to deliver us. And we're not done yet, and there's still a bit to go. The Word of God also says in this particular portion of God's Word that he came to give the recovering of the sight to the blind. Jesus didn't heal every blind person in his day. He healed every blind person that came to him. But he's not talking about the physical healing. He's talking about the imparting of wisdom, smartening us up, giving us what we need to say, hold on a wee second, the way you live your life and the things that you say is complete and utter cobblers. It's killing you by inches. I'm going to do it God's way. Jesus said, John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can you imagine the number of people that are sitting in churches this morning that are listening to the biggest load of cobbler stuff that's only fit for rhubarb, let me tell you. And I don't mean custard. Can you imagine the people that go home believing these lies? Believing the traitors, 2 Timothy chapter 3, that stand behind the pulpit and literally are killing people a day at a time, a lie at a time. Jesus came to open their eyes. Jesus came to help them to see. And what's going through my mind right now is one time I was doing an interview, my only TV interview. And Steve Nolan, that's right. He said, what do you believe, Mark? I believe what the Bible says about, I think it was the LGBT movement and immorality. I believe what the Bible says about it. But what do you believe about it? I believe what the Bible says. I am allowed to believe what the Bible says, just like these other folks are allowed to believe something else. Because I have found the Bible to be right. If God has proved himself time and time again with prophecy and the fulfillment of it, I am sure the rest of the Bible is true. Any soul that appeals to the Word of God can have their eyes open. Remember blind Bartimaeus? Remember the two blind men at the side of the road? Lord, save us! Shh! But I want to see, Lord, help me to see. Anybody that appeals to God, anybody that comes to God and says, God, give me wisdom, God will say, one second, I've got a truckload of it here. Take as much as you want. I want you as smart as a whip, as sharp as a razor. The Bible not saying, James, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. That's what God came to give us. That is what people are dying for. They're not dying for antibiotics, and they're not dying for a drink, and they're not dying. They're dying because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're dying because they're doing stupid things that the Bible says you shouldn't do. Goodness, even the Bible says, wash your hands. How many moms and dads have tried to instruct their little children? If you ever see the pictures, inevitable picture of a little child. Fingers stuck up their nose. And then they're going to sit down. And who knows what's in their fingers. Mommy says, get upstairs and wash your hands. But mommy, I'm going to get upstairs and wash your hands. It's in the Bible. Before mommies and daddies and any of our recent generations even thought about that, it was in the Bible. God wants us smart. He wants us as cunning as serpents, but he wants us as gentle as doves as well. There is a certain amount of pre-programmed respect in people for people in authority, although not so much these days. And I remember thinking about the same about the guys that drove the big cars in Desmond's until I saw one of the guys then using the toilet and going out without washing his hands. And I thought, never shaking your hand again. And when men put collars on, you know what a collar is? It's a signpost to say, I'm a man of God, ask me any question in the Bible. That's what it means. You might not want it to mean that, but that's what it means. They're lifting Jesus up in society by wearing a collar that says, I'm a man of God. Ask me any question you want, I'll have an answer for you. And we all used to think that. I have heard of the terrible things that ministers used to do to people and the way they used to treat them in generations gone by, simply because they thought that no one could touch them. Don't be afraid to ask ministers questions. A lot of these guys don't know their left hand from their right hand. And I would safely have said, whenever we had children in the church, that they probably knew more of the Bible than many of the ministers in this country. I remember one coming up to me as we were putting leaflets in through doors. Who gives you the right to do that? And he was wearing a collar, a retired Church of Ireland minister. Who gives you the right to put those gospel tracts in the door? I said, really? Did Jesus not say to go and preach the gospel to every creature? And he stomped back to his house. And a minister's wife comes screaming across the road because you put a gospel tract in through the door. Who later confided in me that we always have the most problems with born-agains. I thought, really? I can see now why Jesus had so many trouble. Do you remember what the Lord said about them? He said, they're blind leaders of the blind. And God doesn't want his people spiritually blind. Because whether you're blind for a few years in this life, I would far rather that and be alive and free and forever in a glorified body in heaven with our robes of righteousness and our garments of salvation. That is what is most important. God wants his children smart. He wants them to know the way it is. To see the parables, to hear the parables, and to remember what they are. Things kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's what Jesus said, the parable. I will open my mouth in parables and utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. God wants that for you and me, for everybody. That's what he means, the recovering of the sight to the blind. And lastly, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I had to think a wee bit about that one too, and the only thing that I could think about was judgment. Conviction of sin, judgment to come, and of course, salvation. When you do what God says and you know deep down that it's for the best, but it's going to be a bit inconvenient and it's going to bring you a bit of ridicule, when are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? A lot of people, whenever they're young, will say, well, there's things that I want to do whenever I'm young, but the thing about it is, whenever you're young, that's like turning the steering wheel just a little bit. Whenever you're young, it doesn't mean that much, but 10 years down the line, it can be huge. When are you going to do it? Bearing in mind that this is not your mommy asking you to do something, and you can shout down the stairs and say, mommy, I'll be down in 10 minutes after I have one more go in this game. Because obviously what I have to do is far more important than anything you have asked me to do. That is not the way it works. I think we don't really know how important it is that we obey God. If you're lost and you're greatly convicted by your sin, it's not God pointing his finger at you and singling you out to humiliate you. It's God putting his hand upon your shoulder and gently reminding you, hey, you're a sinner and you need to be saved. You're quite literally standing on the brink of an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And you need to be saved sooner rather than later. Because there's no guarantee you'll be there in 10 minutes let alone a year. Or it could be someone that you know, Christian, that is standing on the brink of eternity, and God needs for you to go there right now. Needs for you to pick up a phone, needs for you to knock on the door of that person right now, not in 10 minutes, not next year, not whenever you feel like it, but right now. And do you know what that does to a person? I'm going to tell you the first thing it does to the person. A wee bit of sweat starts to appear in your brow because you think, I'm stepping out here for God, and I don't know what way this is going to go. And your heart will start beating and your voice will start to quiver, and you might even feel your legs shaking a wee bit in terror and fear whenever you go to the stranger's door or even a friend's door and say, look, I don't know what's going on, but God has really put it upon my heart to tell you that you need to get saved. What do you mean? You know what you do? You take God at his word. When you're delivered up, take no thought how or what you shall say. For in that same moment it shall be given you what you shall say. And it'll not be you that speaks. It'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. And I know I am not the most memorable of speakers. My wife proved it to me there in our last service. When we got in and I had to go out, and we're doing two or three things at once. I nipped out to my building to get something that had to be wrapped for eBay. And I came back to the front door and she said, what was the title for the message this morning? I know I'm not the most memorable of speakers, but I can guarantee you the Holy Spirit remembers every single word. And when you need it, he'll give it to you. Looks like I'm going to have to check my dinner for ground glass today.
McDonald's.
To threaten me with McDonald's. Friends, we're on a clock. We quite literally are on a clock. Not this morning. I don't even remember when we started. About an hour and a quarter ago. Christian world is full of examples of people that got up when God said and went and told a man or a woman indeed about the gospel, only to find out that a day or two later that soul was away off into eternity. And because of their obedience, that soul made it into an eternity in heaven with God. And there are also instances when people have not. And one that springs to mind was a preacher that was in his truck way to get a car parked, and God said to him, before he even got into the truck, go and see old Fred. And he said, I'll call in with old Fred on the way back from the car park. He said, go and see old Fred first. And he said, I'll go and see old Fred whenever I come back from the store. And when he came back, old Fred was dead just 10 minutes. There is a very real need, because people's souls do stand on the brink of eternity. And we don't know what part of the body will quit, what little vein will pop, what organ is just going to stop, and that person's opportunity to hear the gospel will be over. And that's why it is important that we remember the judgment of God is very serious. It is daily. And for those that refuse Jesus Christ as Savior, it is eternal. And I honestly don't know, even the gulpins that I know, I'd like to wring their neck or maybe even twist their thick heads off their stupid shoulders and kick it down the street like a football, but I certainly don't want them in hell. I would tell them, I have told people. It is as serious as a heart attack. God came to bring all of these things, but most importantly, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that, friends, is what is most important. I don't know how your newspaper reading has been going the past few weeks. I'm sure there's not too many people dying to get their hands in the newspaper by the time a lot of people have walked past it, breathed over it, spluttered over it or whatever. But the back of the paper is full of obituaries. And I can guarantee you, very few Christians make up any numbers there. I guarantee you the vast majority of those souls thought they had another day or another opportunity or that it wasn't going to happen to them. Friends, there is no such guarantee in life. The only two guarantees are when you're born, you will step off into eternity, and that if you accept Christ as your Savior, you will step off into that eternity with Him. Otherwise, all bets are off. And that's why it is so important that we live for Christ today. That we do what Christ asks us today. And that we don't become lazy. That we don't walk away. Because I can guarantee you all the thrills and all of the joy and fulfillment and satisfaction that a soul needs in serving Christ. That doesn't mean being behind the pulpit. That means in serving Christ where you are. It's a bit like a bottle of antibiotics, and I'm sure we've all seen our fair share of them in the day, for chest infections and for whatever else. I remember lying in the bed like that and looking up and just thinking, man, it's great to see those antibiotics trickling down that wee line into my arm. What is it this time? Co-amoxiclave. We've got this for another few days and then we're giving you something else. I said, thank you very much. I would far rather see it up on that metal spike dripping down that tube into my arm than a whole room full of it sitting in cupboards not doing anybody any good. It's good to know there's antibiotics out there. And millions of souls are alive today because they are. But they don't do you any good unless they're applied. And that's what it is with all of this. God bless you and thank you very much for your time. Sorry for my taking a great delight in there being other people to preach to this morning. I think Monica's wishing that it was just her and me again, where I didn't pick on the only person that was in the congregation. But amen. God bless you. Anybody got a closing hymn they'd like for us to sing? Ling, have you got one on your mind you'd like for us to sing? 448. Oh, there we go. Brethren, we have met to worship. 448.
Lord our God.
you all for your good time and attention. God bless you. I'm sure it's a memorable service. Maybe not for the reasons that I would hope. But it's good to see you. And bear in mind, whilst you look around and you see a few bodies not here, I'm looking around and seeing 300% more bodies here. So it's good to see you. God bless you. Pray the service will be a help to you. We look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time. Please use it, Lord, to work in our hearts and minds, just to strengthen us and encourage us, Father. Thank you for your Son and for your Word, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, for an open, a free and open invitation at any time of the day or night to come before you and just to hash things out. Just thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for salvation, and thank you, Lord, for a purpose. Bless each one of us as we go our separate ways. Please see us safely home. Please, Lord, I pray, keep us bug free. Lord, you know our needs. Please supply them, Father, I pray. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Folks, God bless you. I was going to say shake hands and fellowship for a while, but don't be doing that just yet. We'll get there. We'll get there.